Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
News coming your way with all balls, all sports, and first, Tommy John, my favorite. I'm wearing them right now. I wear them every day. Why wouldn't you? Tommy John, the secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John's summer-ready, ultra-breathable underwear and bras, cool cotton underwear for men and for women, like having your own on-body AC unit made from premium natural Pima cotton for enhanced airflow. It evaporates sweat super fast. Stuff, again, I hit my rowing machine every night. I work up a little sweat, and I just air dry these things. I just wear them dry. Forget about airing them dry. Wear them dry and go to bed in them. Nothing better. It's you will not go back to what you're currently wearing if you're not currently wearing Tommy John. Upgrade to Tommy John. Do it today. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guaranteed. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Since I mentioned it earlier, Paris Hilton has a YouTube doc that is officially out today. And the part that's getting the most press so far is where she comes forward for the first time with allegations of abuse. She says she suffered as a teenage student at a Utah correctional school. We'll call it a disciplinarian school called Provost Canyon School. Fox News spoke with six former students and one ex-staffer of the boarding school who shared their own stories and corroborated her claims of either suffering or witnessing physical and mental abuse, you know, tackling kids and strangling kids, forced medication, beating, solitary confinement. One woman even says she was sodomized by one of the staff who was trying to inject her with something. In a recent interview with People,
done and done.
Well, the 11 months, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Is this a place that rich kids or rich families like send their kids for discipline, like a boarding school that has a higher discipline level?
School. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, Utah has different rules. You know, they say what? Montana, maybe the Dakotas have a little more loosey-goosey relationship with the discipline, the boarding schools. I have a clip from the show that she talks about, you know, begging to come home.
I'm like, please, can I just go home? I've already been through so much. I promise I'll never go to a club again. Please, like, I can't go back to these places. Like, you've no idea. There was no convincing them, no matter what I said. So I just didn't trust them. It made me not trust anyone, not even my own family.
Ooh, weird girl voice. Girl voice there.
Told you, there's a lot of toggling between voices in this. So,
I don't get... Yeah. First off, I do love the fact that everyone just hates their parents. I mean, even the Hiltons, you know, the kid... She was probably out of control when she was 15, like her and her sister are going out clubbing in Manhattan, so they sent her to Utah. But I don't get the part where it's like she didn't trust them. Like, they sent her at this, she sent her away to this place because she was probably out of control and Manhattan was not a good city. She was going full Green Acres in Manhattan over there with New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic. She wanted to go to Utah.
Like, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
I get it, but you can't go to a boarding school for 4 weeks and then come back. It's going to defeat the purpose. I don't know.
But don't you usually think of boarding schools like overseas? Like, oh, I went to an all-girls boarding school in Switzerland. It was boring, but it was fine. But she got beat up in Utah, according to her.
I'm so tired of everybody. Everyone looks back on their childhood and goes, this guy was abusive or this coach was abusive or this whatever. Look, if you get sexually abused, you get sexually abused. The part where, like, you were bullied by the coach or you're bullied by the counselor or the teachers were mean or they used to sit you in the whatever. Get the fuck over it, everybody. Jesus Christ. It's called fucking growing up. She probably went to a place that was a little bit scared straight because they were probably going, we get a lot of socialites that are kind of out of control over here, and we try to hit them with discipline and see if we can break them down. Fine. Again, if you were abused, I'm all ears. But we have taken this definition of abuse and we've spread it out so wide and so thin now that what we used to just call discipline is now swerved into the lane of abuse. Like, if she's going to come up with specific stuff, fine. People being mean or people being tough or discipline. Every football coach I ever had was abusive, but I didn't look at them as abusive. They were just doing their job. Like, they just wanted to win. They'd call you everything and kick your hand when you're in a 3-point stance.
Call you ladies. Former staffer said there was no training on how to physically restrain anyone. We just sort of did what we did. And they said 100% of the staff abused their authority given to them. So
100%?
That's what a former staffer said. Everybody abused it.
Do they still exist?
Nobody knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. No one knows what they're doing. Everything is... You read the transcript of anything and it's all horrible now. Like, here's what this person said. Here's what this person did. Nobody had training, whatever it is. But what happened? I mean, what was done to her? I mean, I don't know what was done to her.
I only saw the first half. I think I'll have to wait to the second half because that was just the sizzle we watched. That was just the tea.
But, like, I don't know, being pissed at your parents because they're trying to get you under control as a teen. I know everyone hates their parents when they're teens, but I don't know. She probably needed to stay at a place like that even longer than she ended up staying. But either way, everyone hates their parents, including me.
Well, U.S. President Donald Trump indicated that he is open to an election debate between he and Joe Biden, moderated by Joe Rogan. A tweet put up by UFC fighter Tim Kennedy, I think we have it, says, on my podcast with Joe Rogan, he offered to moderate a debate between Biden and Trump. It would be 4 hours with no live audience, just the two candidates' cameras and their vision of how to move this country forward. Who wants this? And Trump replied, I do.
Yeah, I'd watch. It'd probably be the best form to do this in. We'd probably get more information than we ever needed. There'd probably be 7,000 sound bites of Trump saying horrible things that would definitely come back to haunt him. So I don't know how badly he wants to do this. I'm sure Biden's not going to do this. But why
Nothing
not?
Nothing comes back to haunt Trump. No. Sorry, you're dead wrong on that one.
Why not? I mean, why couldn't we do it this way? It'd be better. I mean, I would. It would be if you're saying, okay, what's a debate? Like, what are we trying to solve? What are we trying to accomplish in a debate? And I think what we're all trying to do is we're going, well, we'd like to kind of strip away the veneer and the husk of the canned answers or any of the or the teleprompter speeches, or we want to know long form what these people think on this subject and on that subject. Then in a way, this is kind of the purest form of that format. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a version of this format. And I like the no audience. The no audience is good, because what happens is the people start playing to the 400 people that are in the room. And they start saying things that are sort of insane. Like, they'll go, when I'm in charge, I'll shut down all prisons. And everyone starts cheering. Yeah. You know, they go, not only that, I'll take the cops and put them in prison. And everyone starts cheering louder. And it's like, your constituency doesn't agree with that. You're just doing a hook 'em horns thing when you're the University of Texas, which I can tell you the whole audience will just erupt if you yell hook 'em horns. And it's a flashback to me and Drew playing, I think it was University of Texas at Austin.
Yeah, that's the Longhorns.
It becomes when you get that crowd who agrees with you, it comes very easy. And then they do a thing where they go, who says, all right, show of hands, who thinks college should be free for people that are in this country illegally? And everyone starts raising their hand, and there's a poor guy is like, I'm raising my hand too, because everyone is raising their hand and like people are cheering. Right. But the audience should, COVID or not, there should be no audience in a debate. They shouldn't be cheering. They shouldn't be saying things. They shouldn't be pandering or playing to that crowd at all. It's pretty.
And let's not forget that all anyone ever remembers for years are the zingers.
Right.
It's all about the, you know, the gotcha with a clever line or whatever, or
right.
the zinger.
In a weird, pure, as long as we're on this purest form, there should be no audience, and they shouldn't even film it. It should all just show up in an audio file. Like it should.
So they should go on the Joe Rogan podcast and just sit in the studio and do it there.
Yes. I'm going to go a deeper one. We should remove the names and the voice recognition, so we simply heard the audible.
The
we'd have okay. We're going to have two Asian women read the transcript, and you'll not. It's going to be the subject, school choice, and then you'll just hear the one Asian woman reading and the other Asian woman reading. You're not going to hear the names. You're not going to see them. You're not going to go, that guy's got a sweaty upper lip. I don't trust right. him. You know what I mean? There'll be no audience and no anything. And then we'll have our purest form of answer.
That's really
when the
good.
One Asian woman comes out with only Rosie O'Donnell. It might tip off.
That's right. Rosie's
someone starts
a pig.
Screaming, you're the puppet.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting thought experiment. No names, just answers, and we just start asking questions about taxes or school or police or whatever it is. And you would ingest the information more clearly that way, more purely that way. All right. Do you guys Absolutely. Think, do we, now the...
first debate's 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from when people hear this.
Is that the 29th?
That's right.
Yeah, I know. I just talked to August. August, like, Trump said they'd do the interview on Wednesday, but you're going to be in Nashville on Wednesday. So I called back and asked him for the 29th. And I said, yeah, Mike, that's the date of the first debate. And he's like, oh, well, we could do it later then. You know, and I'm like, no, it's not going to do the first debate. You got to pick a new date, Mike. Don't ask for dates that are circled on their calendar. And he's like, oh, okay. So is Biden showing up for that first debate? Do we think he's going to, I know he says he's going to be there. Is anything going to come up between now and then?
It would really shock me. If it did.
Come up in what way? Scandalously or health?
No, just like situation. Yeah, like I tested positive for COVID. I'm not traveling. Or we'll do it via Zoom or some version. Or is it just going to be straight ahead neutral site, you know, orator, and both guys just standing up there?
I I'm sorry to cut you off. But I thought I was, you know, one of many people 4 years ago who was like, is Trump going to show up for these debates? Like, it wasn't in his best interest, and he did it anyway. I think Biden has not a whole lot to lose because the bar has been set so – we talked about on the show. The bar has been set so fucking low. They're still going with this narrative like he has dementia. He can't string a sentence together. It's like – I think we all were in agreement, like, but Biden's going to show up and be boring. And it's and that's the most likely scenario. He could have a trip, could have a slip. Who knows? But my hunch is he'll just be boring old Biden.
Well, that's interesting because I was going to say pretty much the opposite, which is there's really nothing in it for Biden to show up at this.
Because I disagree.
But people have been saying, oh, my God, he's old. He's nuts. He's so downhill. And then he gained so much traction at the DNC and everybody loved that speech. And that's a high note. So why not just leave it at that?
The experts I've read, and I'm no expert, of course, is that there's enough people on the fence who, if Biden were not to show up, that would be a disqualifying. Oh, the guy's lost it. He's afraid to show up. That would be a bad indicator for a certain segment of the population.
Yeah. Well,
maybe even like light supporters of him too.
It's interesting because this is really less about Biden and more of a referendum on Trump. So that would make the argument that we didn't need Biden. We just got to get Trump out of there. Like Biden, I was talking to, I think I was talking to Drew about it. Oh, I was talking to August about it earlier today. There is something that Biden needs to be careful with. Biden, because of some of his wiring and then some of whatever he's going through, little bit of an early onset something. He's got a little something going on. Has a kind of hair trigger.
Yes.
He's volatile. Like if some guy
he'll get excited and start tripping over his words.
Right. If a guy stands up in the audience and goes like, "Hey, your son Hunter Biden, was he in Burisma?" He'll go, "Hey, fatty, would do some push-ups."
Jack.
Yeah. Hey, Jack. Like, and so
come on, Mac.
Now I was talking to Drew about like Mr. Calm and Steady Hand having a little bit of a hot temper, and Drew said, you know, he's got a little something going on neurologically, and this is kind of part of it, that hey, old man, get off my lawn, you know, kind of thing. Do you think Trump goes in there and tries pushing some buttons to see if you can get him to pop off and kind of go, hey, Mr. Slow and Steady over there, turns out kind of angry. Be interesting if that's part of the strategy. All right, let me hit Madison Reed, Mr. here, and then we'll keep going with the news. Madison Reed, well, they make hair coloring. They make hair coloring for women. They made hair coloring for women, and they still do, and it's great stuff. Gina will tell you. Lynette will tell you. And then Madison Reed, Mr. is like, well, why don't we put Mr. at the end of Madison Reed, and we'll make it for the fellas. No shoe polish look, very natural. You can go look at the before and after shots, go to their website. You go there, you go to their website, you pick out the color that matches your natural color, and then that's it. They send you the kit, you put the gloves on, you rub a little of the color gel, your fingers, just run it through your hair, and then the activator, wait 10 minutes, rinse, and there you go. Bob's your uncle. Very natural, a little more pepper, a little less gray. I use it. It looks very natural. It is. Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Corolla for 10% off, plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
What else we got, Gina Grad?
Akon, the singer, has broken ground on an ambitious plan to build a futuristic city in Senegal that he says will be a real-life version of Wakanda, the high-tech nation portrayed in Marvel blockbuster Black Panther. This is according to CNN and many outlets. So Akon laid the first stone for Akon City. I feel like it should be called Akonda. And
yeah,
said,
Akon
you.
City sounds like a prison.
Work will begin soon. According to its official website, the solar-powered city will have healthcare facilities, offices, luxury houses, shopping malls, skyscrapers, eco-friendly tourist centers. It will be a five-minute drive from the country's new international airport. The singer was gifted 2,000 acres of land by Senegalese President Macky Sall to build the ambitious city. Akon also says he's raised part of the $6 billion required to do so through unnamed investors.
Well, you know, we all grew up watching those sci-fi things with like the super cities with the monorail running through it. Mm-hmm. You know, Disneyland was kind of an attempt at that. It's got monorail running through there, and the Jetsons live there and everything. And it's like, it never works. I don't know why it never works. It's 2000 and almost 21. Could we get it to work? Like, just start, you know, just the fact. The fact that you look out the window of your home or your apartment or wherever you are, and the first thing you see is these wooden telephone poles that were dipped in creosote, like turn of the century, just got all this
so
black sap all over them. And it's just that thing was a ponderosa pine that they chopped down 86 years ago, and then they stripped it of its bark and dipped it in stuff that causes cancer, and then just pile drove it into the ground and then put like an antenna on top of it and then strung wire from one to the next. Like the fact that I got a condo in Malibu, I look out the window of the living room, there they go, right down the highway.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we were driving through Malibu not too long ago, and I don't know why I just had, you know, you have those moments where you look at something like through a child's eyes for the first time, and you're like, this fucking beautiful stretch of land, these oceanfront homes, this multi-million dollar properties, it's covered in a net of electrical and phone wires, just a net.
And
same thing with Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, they're all little cockeyed. They've all been there since the 40s. It's a disaster. They fall off and start fires and everything burns.
Yeah, the transformer explode right. A couple weeks
right.
ago.
Like, what are we doing with the wooden but they're not even metal. They're not composite material. They're not plumb or level. They're strewn about in weird different positions. They got the weird cancer-causing creosote like coating on them. Some of them have like weird spikes and they're, you know, termite infested. And it's like, why don't we just start with a fresh sheet of paper, bury all the power lines, get the little generators and the solar stuff working? Like, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Wouldn't you and wouldn't everyone easily go get behind a proposition in an election to bury all power lines?
You would think so. Yeah. You would think so, Gina. But let me tell you why I'm saying that is because on Balboa Island, where Christie's parents inherited their house from the grandparents, half the island voted to bury the lines. The other half of the island voted to keep them up.
Oh my
it was too expensive.
And that was the thing in Manhattan Beach. It went like basically block by block, but they were charging each resident of that house, you know, like $20,000 or something. But if it was an overall California state tax that look, the whole state's on fire and a lot of you know, PG&E, whatever, a lot of this could have been avoided if power lines were buried, and they're ugly as hell. So can't we all pitch in a couple extra pennies and bury these damn things?
And in earthquakes, that's the most dangerous thing.
Oh, sure.
Power lines.
Well, what if I know. What if they just said, hey, people of California, would you rather have a bullet train that averaged 30 miles an hour from Merced to Fresno, or we just bury every one of these fucking lines and we'll have a ton of money left over?
That'd be great.
I know it's like it's weird. It's so old. When you see pictures from like turn of the century and horses and carts and old dirt roads, you just see all those weird telephone poles everywhere. And I was looking out my window in Malibu, just staring at one of those telephone poles going, what fucking year is it? Like, isn't this something a city and a state should figure out?
Yes.
Again, it would be nice. Any politician that just said, look, I don't give a fuck about schools and I don't care about Social Security. I don't care about the elderly and I don't care about special needs kids. I'm going to bury every fucking power line inside of 3 years in this goddamn state of ours. It'll be clean. And by the way, anyone who's ever gotten drunk and ridden a moped into a power pole, you'd be alive today.
Think of the lives.
Think of all the horrible Vespa accidents that are to come, and all the bird scooters where drunken people run into those fucking power poles. Like, if they just said, that's it, I'm the candidate of burying every power line. You're never gonna have to look at this. No more downed power lines. No more nothing. As a matter of fact, Dawson, you can tell Max Zapata or tell Kalen, if you go back. Here's the part that I like. You go back to the Irwin Allen movie Earthquake. Brian brought up Earthquake. Earthquake, circa 1974. It was 74. Earthquake, there was a pivotal scene when, like, little Johnny the kid was walking across the L.A. River in Studio City, you know, the one that runs next to Ventura Boulevard, and it was like there's an earthquake and the power line thing started falling and the pole fell and then the hot wire was like down in the thing and Charlton Heston had to save him or I'm trying to think, maybe the guy who played Shaft had to save him. I'll figure it out, but either way, that is 1974 and the exact same technology, the exact same thing. If you walk out your house, you look out the window, it's exactly the same as it was almost 47 years ago now. And 47 years before that was the same. I mean, those things were old when the earthquake hit in 74.
And it doesn't have to be. It's not like, come on, somebody come up with a solution. The solution already exists.
If only somebody invented something called variable conduit. Man. Oh, They'd print money. They bury everything that New York buried a whole train 100 years ago. Yep. And people, it's not that hard. We did it here too. You do a little trenching, you get one of the coolest named devices ever for digging a trench called the Ditch Witch.
Oh,
yeah.
It's all worse.
Don't be on the business end of the ditch, witch. And they'll dig a trench, and then you take your variable conduit, and you put it in the trench, and then you run your wires through the conduit.
Does it leak? Does it poison the earth?
No. And by the way,
then we could get the environmentalists on board because they cause all the so many wildfires.
And save the telephone stuff for your grandma. We don't even need the landlines anymore. Whatever you're running up there, Ma Bell, we don't need that shit. We just need the power.
Irwin Allen, by the way, did not produce Earthquake. He produced the competing Towering Inferno. Mark Robson was the producer.
Oh, really? So Irwin Allen did Towering Inferno. Poseidon Adventure. He did all those big whatever movies, but he didn't do Earthquake. Interesting. All right. See if you can find that scene. I'll tell you about LifeLock. Since the start of the pandemic, there's been a 300% increase in cybercrime. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, taking advantage of teleconference accounts. Well, sure, everyone's on their computer. Everyone's on their smartphone. Hackers, they're thieves. They're smart, lazy thieves or evil. They want to steal your information and they want to sell it. And they don't feel like getting bit by a dog or hitting the butt with rock salt. So they just sit online and hack into your all your information. Cyber criminals keep finding ways to steal identities. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit alone. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at lifelock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at lifelock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
All right, so there's an earthquake. There's the big power lines. There's small telephone pole. The kid is on a bridge. The bridge falls into the wash. He's crossing the bridge. He falls off on his bike. Takes a good spill. Lands in the wash. The dam's going to break, too, I think. He's laying there in the bottom. This is all we had. Karen Black, by the way, is starring in this. The ground is moving. All the hill houses on stilts are out there. Everyone's running around. They get a lot of mileage over just shaking the camera back and forth while people were running. And then showing a lot of the same shots on a lot of the
never a good sign.
Same things. Yeah, yeah. Not good enough for Irwin Allen.
The stilt house
falling down the side of a canyon. Karen Black gets away. She used to do a lot of horror movies. She lands on the same piece of earth that they've been moving around for 10 minutes. And then at some point, that's her son. Her son is in the wash.
The whole house goes down.
Oh, yeah.
The whole mission.
Who's going to make the tortillas? All right. Now, later on, sorry, Max Bata, but the kid is laying in the wash and the power lines that are heated up fall in there and the kid has to escape because the water's coming through the thing. And by the way, George Kennedy plays the cop in this movie.
Wow. Twirling a baton.
Yeah, Bumper Morgan. Yeah, he then parlayed that into this. And there was a whole weird National Guard thing that had a kind of bizarre gay sexual twist to it.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you? I've told you guys about that, right?
This does not sound familiar.
Margot Gershwin or whatever his name was. Crazy name. Margot Gershwin. It was a character actor. He played a National Guardsman. And he had all these like palookas who lived in his apartment building who called him gay and made fun of him because very weird and homoerotic. Unnecessary. But later on, when he was the National Guardsman, talk about everything old being new again, he had the gun out and he saw the palooka guys like looting. And back then, part of the storyline was, hey, if you see a guy looting, you get to shoot him. No questions asked, right? So it's like you're the guy in the apartment building, and these guys have been making fun of you for the last 2 years, calling you gay and everything, and now you got a gun, and you just caught them at an appliance store. And you get to shoot them.
That's right. You're in the right.
Didn't we have a caller call in and say that her dad was one of the Palooka guys? Remember that?
Yes, they did. All right,
Adam,
Gina.
I'm afraid Karen Block is not credited in the...
No. Then who was it?
Victoria Principal?
No, Victoria Principal played the girlfriend of... All right, Victoria Principal... Gina, you'll like this. Victoria Principal has a great set of tits, right? And literally her job in this movie was just to wear a tight shirt. And she was the boyfriend of Richard Roundtree, who was the motorcycle... Or she was the sister of the brother who, like, promoted this guy. It was a daredevil. And she'd just stand at the bar in front of drunken George Kennedy and just open her shirt up and show her this, like, tight, braless T-shirt thing. Oh. So Victoria Principal.
Now that's producing.
Am I right or am I right?
Yeah.
All right.
Then that struck a chord with a 10-year-old Adam Carolla. But then the girlfriend of Chuck Heston was played by who?
Ava Gardner?
No, Genevieve Ava Bujold? Ava Gardner was his wife. Huh?
Is it Genevieve Bujold in the pink?
I guess that was her. Maybe I thought it was. It looked like Karen Black, but maybe it was Genevieve Bujold. Yeah, she was the girlfriend. It was back when Chuck Heston had a bitchy wife, and it was understood that he was banging a younger chick. Yeah, that's them. Yeah, it's not Karen Black. It's Genevieve, whoever. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
You know, it's interesting for Genevieve Gujold or whatever. The biggest break in the world is I'm doing this huge movie with Chuck Heston, and I play his love interest. Like, I'm the star of this movie, and... And then you blink your eyes, 46 years goes by, still got power lines, and she's dead. So enjoy, everybody. Look forward. Everyone, look forward to this weekend. Is she still alive? Is Genevieve still alive?
Oscar nominee for Anne of the Thousand Days.
That's right. She's 78.
I'm ashamed to admit I don't know much about.
I don't even know what that is. What year was that? Was that before 69, this?
69, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. And still alive, 78 years young. All right. Let me hit Geico right now. Geico is offering you an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico would already be saving you if, in fact, you were going with Geico, which I highly suggest. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just go to geico.com to learn more. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and finish up with Cesario and All Balls, All Sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Oh, brother! Chet Waterhouse with the Bet Online mini update, sponsored by the Hot Dog Ingredients Defense Council. You're cooking them at 500 degrees. What do you care what's in them? NFL, Rams beat Dallas on a controversial offensive pass interference call. I've seen more contact at an improv class. NBA, Danuel House officially kicked out of the bubble, had an unauthorized guest in his room, said the housekeeper... Clean the room now. And finally, that Bellator fighter who got hit in the nuts twice is recovering and will be singing the high stuff for Earth, Wind, and Fire New Year's Eve at the Mirage. This mini update sponsored by the Hot Dog Ingredients Defense Council. You don't know what's in fish sticks. We don't hear you bitching about them. Over to you, Jeff. Thank you very much, Chet. Let's dive into these headlines.
Well, the Rams game. That was a tough push-off call in the Rams game. It really made me realize there. We've talked about kicking in the nuts. Do you fake it if you got kicked in the liver and not in the nuts? You know, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you buy yourself some time? DBs are now doing a kind of a flop move now that never really existed before. They're calling pushing off because, let's face it, these guys are so physical and so athletic now, the wideouts, that that's a real thing. And in the Rams game, the DB did a little delayed flop move, if you guys saw that. He got kind of pushed off, took two steps, and then kind of did a, you know, Scarlett O'Hara hands in the air move. So if you watch him.
We have it.
He's running down the He gets pushed off of a little bit or held off, and then he does a kind of lordy. And
would have set him up.
I'm a Rams fan. My feeling always is let him play at the end of the game. I don't like the bad chippy calls in the NBA. I don't like them in the NFL. I say let him play. On the other hand, there is such a thing as pushing off, and a lot of guys do it, and it makes a pretty big difference, and it should be called certain times.
Yeah, pushing off should be called more often, but yeah, the D-backs have had to compensate because they're clearly about a foot and a half shorter than most of the receivers in the NFL now. But in this particular instance, there was it was like two shoppers hand fighting at Ross Dress for Less. There was nothing happening at all until, like you said, about a second and a half later, like a bobblehead in the back of a Chevy, Jalen Ramsey's head just went, and all of a sudden the flags come raining out of the pockets. And the officials, you know, this is something I don't think anybody's quite factored in yet on the NFL. Everybody's so gangbusters to get it going, and I understand it. But nobody thought, hey, are the refs ready to ref? And they're not really. There was a lot of bad calls.
That was always my favorite, least favorite part of the preseason. Hey, it's preseason for these guys too.
Right.
You don't say. They haven't been going year-round?
They also
– Yeah, right.
One of my least favorite plays, but this was – the way the announcer called it, Max Paz kind of on the spot. In the fourth quarter, I don't know, 5-6 minutes left in the game, the cowboy back did catch one, got blown up, and the ball came flying out. Of course, it's a no catch. But as I scream all the time, oh, it was Amari Cooper. Yeah, it wasn't he caught the ball. He did catch the ball. He then started to turn and take it upfield and got blown up immediately, balls on the ground. But I like when they go, I don't know how the ref said it out loud, but it bothered me, which is like, he did not catch the ball. It's like, he did catch the ball and then he got blown up and the ball is on the ground. It's not amount of time. It's, did you catch the ball or did you not catch the ball? It bothers me every time. My feeling is, I don't need you to do much after you catch it. If you catch it, if we can prove that you caught it, you have both hands on it, and you've secured it, and then you get blown up, then the ball's live. That's the way. Because you're taking away the best play, if you think about it, the best play a DB can make. Like, if you have to think about, like, different positions. You know, if you're playing tackle, a pancake block is the best you're going to do, or what have you, you know.
Right.
If you're a DB, an interception, a breakup is good. An interception is really good. But one of the best plays you can make as a DB is having a guy catch the ball, then blowing the guy up and having the ball loose on the ground, and then having either you or a teammate scoop it and go for six. Like, that's on your highlight reel for sure.
Yeah. But they can't decide what a catch is. I think they got the Jet Propulsion Lab working on the schematics for this. It's sad because now part of the judging process is you need to make the catch and then make an athletic move after the catch. I kind of think the catch is the athletic move. That's a hell of a move. How is that downplayed? That's a catch, for Pete's sake.
I say your mom putting the name Daquan on your birth certificate there is an athletic move. So this this took place a long time ago. Yes, you caught the ball, and now you're trying to advance the ball, and you get blown up. It's all an athletic move.
Now,
so here's the way you can define it to me with high def. There are catches guys make where it hits them, the ball's moving around, they got like the back of their hand on it, and they're kind of trying to tuck it in, and they get blown up, and they never really had that ball. They probably would have possessed that ball, but they never really had, they had 70% control of that ball, but not 100. But then there's catches where the guy gets both sticky diver's gloves. Those are what they started with. Those were diver's gloves, by the way. Yeah. Both sticky gloves and gets both hands on either side of the ball, and he's caught the ball. He now possesses the ball, then gets blown up. I don't know if you can find that, Max Bad. This one was bang, bang. This one was fast, but he still caught it and started running upfield.
If you can find it, you know, Adam, you've proposed your replay gimp. No context. Just, you know, he just comes up, looks at it, makes a call. Let's do that with Gina. Do we have the clip? Gina, you make the call. Just watch.
Wake up,
is
Gina.
It a catch or is it not?
Okay.
You know what else?
No context.
No. Yeah, you be the replay gimp, Gina. The other
what
way, you know, the other way to settle this as well,
what are we doing?
Is if you just, she was texting this whole time. If you stop, we'll see. If you stop the tape, like what I mean is like person catches the ball and starts to move the ball down, you just stop the tape and you go, did he catch that ball? Then everyone would go, yes, he caught that ball. And then after, we'll show you the play. Sorry. It's fast, but he caught
it. Quarterback is an interception fumble, excuse me, catch fumble. Recovered by the Rams. First down.
Rams jumped right on it. You'll see it again. Does he have control 2 feet down?
Watch Ramsey flip it around. We used to see the Patriots do that all the time. It looks like Ramsey's on a defense to cover down the field, but he never was. I think that's going to be called incomplete,
though. Yeah, I do, too. I mean, you look at this
thing. It's all kind of bumping.
Okay. For a second.
Al, you said it right. Control 2 feet down. Then he has to have the ball long enough to perform an act common to the game.
That's a catch.
He clearly does not have the ball long enough to perform an act common to the game. This should be reversed to incomplete.
All right, so here's the thing. Gina. He doesn't have the ball long enough. He caught the ball. He got both feet down. He started to make a football move, but he didn't have it long enough.
Yeah.
Are we doing a time length thing? How about you catch the ball, you put both feet down, and you start to make a football move? Sorry, Max Pavitt. None of those were very good. There's one where you can just see him from the sideline just catch the ball and whatever. Gina Grant, I mean, replay gimp.
Yep. It was kind of choppy, but at least from where this gimp stands, it looked like he almost caught it and then it popped right out. So why would that be considered a catch?
The gimp is smoking.
The gimp is smoking.
Jeez.
He almost caught it. All right. Well, we'll show you. You'll see it.
See, this one's
caught
really
it.
Got it.
Turns.
Okay. Yeah.
Gone.
That's a catch.
No, he caught it.
So they'll reverse this.
The guy in the purple, the guy in the aubergine caught it. Yeah.
All right. But so caught it, stop, turn, gone. Okay. It's split second. But I don't, the part was like he didn't have it long enough.
Yeah. No.
So is it like a three Mississippi? He caught it, put his feet down on the ground.
It's a list of requirements. It's like a recipe now for Pete's sake. And the officials. It's unlike college. These guys get $200K a year, plus they get to do an off-season job if they want. They should be on top of this the year on. They shouldn't, quite frankly, need as much preseason as the players. They should be on top of this a little bit. This, you know, I mean, it's a pretty good sounding gig, quite frankly.
Well, that
I don't know how these rules get so vague and so out of touch. Anyway,
well, I'll tell you.
I'm sponsored by Pinocchio's. Nevada's only all puppet brothel. Try our chicken wings. Next! NBA, we touched on the bubble. There's more bubble issues. They threw the house guy out for having someone in his room. But now, Rajon Rondo, the Lakers' Rajon Rondo's brother, William, got tossed from a game out of the bubble for heckling Russell Westbrook. And the Rockets lost to the Lakers. They let like 13 people into the arena. One of them's a lippy guy. He gets tossed, but here's the killer. This William Rondo guy, he wasn't just a spectator in there to watch his brother. He's in charge of all the barbers, hairdressers, and manicurists in the bubble. So now the barbers, hairdressers, and manicurists are leaderless. The French tips are already showing sloppiness, I believe, Gina. The cornrows, not clearly up to snuff. No one knows how to cut that Eastern European mullet. It's a mess. They got to get this guy back in the bubble. I mean, I don't know how you toss that guy out.
Can we cut this guy a little slack for being angry, like having anger issues? Because he had his brother the whole time was like Rajon Rondo and a great ball player. This guy's a barber and his name is Bill Rondo. And it was like people had to say to him, like, oh, what's you? I'm Rajon Rondo. OK, this is my brother. Let me guess. Rhino? No. Rodeo Rondo, huh? Am I right?
Dijon
Rondo, not just Bill. Oh, all right. Well, I like the back of my neck square. So, can I get the cape? I like when parents run out of creative juice. Like Rajon Rondo is the greatest name ever. Then you go to Bill. After that,
yeah,
like you just used all your creative name juices on the one kid and just kind of ran out of steam for the next.
Maybe they hit a wall with Rajon in the sense of Rajon or however it's pronounced. Just at one point, maybe he's older. He came home and he just went, look, this is not working. And they said, all right, we can't change you, but the next kid up, we'll adjust.
There's four Rondo siblings, Rajon, Diamond.
Oh, Bill's even more pissed now, right?
And Anton. And then there's Portland William.
Oh, see, this is what's going on. This is an anger issue that's steeped in family issues. He's seeing his kid brother out there playing professional ball. He's in charge of refilling the blue liquid in the comb dispenser, you know, and he's angry. And his name's Bill.
Sure.
Diamond, Rajon, what's the other one's name?
Anton.
Yeah. I got Rajon, Anton, Bill. Diamond, and Bill. Not since
I got a blowout in chair 7, Bill. Get the diffuser over here.
Not since the band U2 with the Edge and Bono and Larry has there been this big a gap. Is Bill the oldest, youngest?
I can't tell the order. I'm looking.
He's got to get drunk at Thanksgiving and go, come on, Ma. What the fuck? Bill?
Maybe it wasn't even
Diamond and Rajon over there.
Maybe he wasn't heckling the other guy. Maybe he was heckling his brother. Wasn't heckling Russell Westbrook. He was.
Yeah.
Maybe he was heckling Russell because he liked Russell's first name even better than Bill.
Maybe this is the urban version of a boy named Bill. I like you name him Bill. You grow up tough.
That's right.
Yeah.
He knew he'd have to get tough or die.
Any idea of who's older, who's younger? Is he younger than Rajon? We don't know.
You have to have someone smarter than me look into that.
All right. Yeah. Well, if they don't have it on a computer, screw it.
I got all I can do reading this crap. That item, incidentally, sponsored by Cantanker Ale. Get cranky. Drink Cantanky. It's got bite.
I like when they have the little power pop at the end. Let me hit Bet Online here. Well, the wait is over, everybody. Everybody is back. All the pro football up and running. A lot of good games coming up this weekend. Falcons at Cowboys, Bills at Dolphins, Rams at Eagles, my Rams. Vikings at Colts, Panthers, Buccaneers, Patriots, and Seahawks. Ooh, that's going to be a good one. More options to wager than any place online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on win and division and championship futures as well. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the new great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, your exclusive partner, Podcast One. And don't forget, promo code Podcast One. Sign up for your bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
Well, let's check the Bet Online line. You got, let's look at the Bet the Farm Friday. We got tie for first place. Brian won, Adam won, and Jeff won their bets. And in second place, Gina with a push on the Chargers. Tonight, huge line moves. Heat versus the Celtics, line moved huge. Now Miami, it's almost a, it's generally a push here. Miami and the Celtics just about dead even. Nuggets, Clippers, game seven. Clippers had a huge advantage yesterday. Now, no longer, it's essentially picking both teams at minus 110. That Bet Online line sponsored by the Hot Dog Ingredients Defense Council. There's mercury in your sushi. Why don't you focus on that? This is Chet Waterhouse for All Balls, All Sports, reminding you to play with pain.
All Balls, All Sports, presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
I love how the Hot Dog Defense Council just kept getting angrier and angrier. I do love
that. Is such a funny concept. Brian, there's action, according to Bet Online. You can get action on any of the 14 Dancing with the Stars contestants, but not Johnny Weir.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. His odds are locked.
I don't know what that means, but...
That means probably too much money came in on Johnny Weir.
Probably means I'm on the right track. All right. I want to thank Perez Hilton for coming in here as best he could with the occasional technological problem. Tempe, Arizona this weekend, everyone, the 18th and the 19th. That's right. We'll do live pod there. We'll do live stand-up there. John Holmberg's going to be there, and then Rob Schneider will be there on Saturday, so we'll be live doing it up there. Salt Lake City coming after that. Wise Guys, October 2nd and 3rd as well. I'm your emotional support animal. My book is available as we speak on Amazon. Write a review. I shall read it. And until next time, I'm Crow for Perez Hilton and Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Jeff Cesario saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get Adam's new book. I'm your emotional support animal. It's available everywhere. All the links are adamcarolla.com.